This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Major is here, let me remind you. The host of America Decides, you can now hear that Monday through Friday right here on WCCO Radio. We're the first station to carry it on air. You see it on CBSN at 5 o'clock, but you hear it right here on CCO Radio every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock. So glad to have Major as a fixture on this radio station. Hello, my friend. Let's talk about Elon Musk, and let's talk about this meeting with the Pentagon, and what is the truth from your reporting. Yesterday, the New York Times cited multiple sources, and so did the Wall Street Journal, that Elon Musk was headed this morning to the Pentagon to meet with Secretary of Defense Hegseth, and among the things he would see, the potential war options that the United States has, contingency, which they always have under any president, in this case involving a potential warlike conflict or war with China. The president and the Secretary of Defense and others pushed back strongly, including the president and Secretary of Defense in the Oval Office in the last hour and a half. There's also reporting saying that, yes, the initial reporting was correct, but once the information came out that they changed the meeting. From what you know, what can you tell us?
So CBS News has not, through its own reporting, verified the initial assessments, which you accurately summarized in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. What we do know is the president and the Secretary of Defense vehemently denied it with a lot of gusto, with a lot of intensity in the Oval Office this morning. My experience with President Trump is when he goes out of his way and over again and revisits something he's denying, there has usually been a kernel of truth in it, and he wants to make sure that that kernel of truth is beaten into submission, which may have been what happened here. That might have been the plan. That might have been the intent. But it didn't. It may not have happened. I think that's a fair reading of it. But that's. I'm going to defer to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal on that. They had reporting that we at CBS News at this point don't have. It raises, though, a much more fundamental question. And one of the things that President Trump said today was, well, even if it was being offered, I don't think Elon would accept it. You know, he wouldn't be want to be compromised like that. Really? Really?
Yeah,
now,
sure.
is that after the fact, okay, reassessing things like, oh, gosh, maybe we shouldn't have even thought of this in the first place? Or how did this thing get out of control? Or what would we do this for anyway? The proximity that Elon Musk has and continues to have in very favored status to the Pentagon, every other aspect of the federal government, despite pushback in some certain circumstances from federal courts about the methodologies of DOGE, remains a dominant political and governmental issue for our country. And it is beginning to create a small but not insubstantial brush fire of political opposition in rallies or congressional town halls across the country. There has been wildcat violence, and I'm not in favor of violence against any car company or anyone who makes cars. If you have a political grievance, protest peacefully. Don't set things on fire. Mm-hmm. People who do that
Correct.
Should be arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. What the president calls them is up to him, but that's wrong. It shouldn't happen. That all being said, Musk and this government, the Trump administration, is as tightly wound as any outsider I've ever seen wound to a presidential administration. And it is our present reality, and many things are flowing from it. And not all of them, from a market perspective, are positive for Tesla. Watching CNBC this morning, Tesla is down 43% in market value in 3 months. Investors are beginning to pull the plug, saying it's a great company, it's a great product, but its brand image is suffering massively. Musk is trying to hold on to that stock value where it presently is, telling people, hold on, don't sell off. This is a huge story with many, many different dimensions to it. The Pentagon one may be just one of many, and I'll leave it again to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal as far as what their reporting was and where this meeting ultimately ended up.
You can imagine this week we've talked a lot of Tesla, and mm-hmm. my comments pretty much echoed almost 100% to what you said, and Elon Musk is the man in charge. I would be very curious, Major Garrett, to hear what the board and other top people at Tesla are saying to Elon, and if he's willing to listen when they are applauding his sheer brilliance and his hard work, and his will that has propelled Tesla into its previous mm-hmm. position. And if some are honest, they're saying, well, listen, if he can help our government, great. But as you mm-hmm. just said, when a company of this stature and this size and this wealth is down 43% and that amount of money, there have to be board people who either have the courage or want to have the courage to say, Elon, Mr. Musk, what mm-hmm. are we doing? What sort of commitment do you still have to this company and right. the owners of this company, whether they own the car or the stock? Because I know it went up after the election, but it is absolutely plummeted, as you pointed out.
Right. And it went up after the election under the assumption that Elon would have what he's turned out to have. Outsized influence, regulatory and otherwise, on the Trump administration. And there were people who thought that was something that would bring the company and its stockholders not unending, but quite large riches. Well, it did for a period of time, but the public backlash has ensued. And again, as I tell anyone in this space, acts of violence against Tesla hurt investors, which means lots of ordinary Americans. It hurts engineers and employees of the company, also, by and large, ordinary Americans. And it's a crime. It's destructive to your messaging, and it's a crime. It shouldn't happen. It's not the way to deal with this particular issue. It's not the way to deal with Elon Musk, because you're hurting lots of other people as collateral damage, plus you're committing a crime. But remember, Tesla is still, though its value has dropped whatever the latest trading is, 42, 43, 43.5%, whatever, it's still the most valuable auto company in the world presently. So Elon is still doing very well. And SpaceX had another success this week, retrieving two astronauts at the International Space Station, bringing them safely back, splashed down in the Gulf of Mexico, by the way.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Wow. Josh, hang up on him. Okay, come on.
Yeah, I go with a map designation that's 400 years old.
Yes.
So.
How about the Dolphins, but, by the way, who were awaiting the splashdown? Amazing. They knew. They had the timing down the whole. It's not going to be a couple weeks. 9 months. We'll come back.
You know, I have in my head a an SNL script that basically shows sharks pre-planning what they're going to do for Shark Week on Discovery, you know?
Yes.
Where they all sit around and like, okay, they're going to drop the cages in. Now, this year, don't do the thing we've done all the other previous years. We got to do something different this year, you know?
Yes.
I think the Dolphins had a similar meeting.
Let me ask you this, too. Let's say you were on that capsule and you come back after 9 months and they acclimate your body, and I would love to get all the details on that, how that works. I know the first thing you do, you spend, you know, about a week podcasting this show to get up to speed. That would be first thing. Second, you would contact your family and friends.
All my other missed episodes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Again, first, this podcast. Second, you would contact your family and friends. Third, what is the third thing Major Garrett does after returning to Earth after 9 months?
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
One I have never contemplated for even a split second.
One I can't believe I'm spending my Friday afternoons thinking about here. What has happened to me? I'm Major Garrett.
Well, here's what I would say about that. So, and it takes quite a few weeks for your body to readjust to the pull of gravity, for your muscles to recover, for your balance to return. So let's just assume all that's been taken care of. And since I've come back from space and I have a kind of semi-exalted existence here on Earth, I can go anywhere I want. I would go back to the beach in San Diego. I'd just walk on the beach. It's what I miss all the time. I swear to God, it's what I miss all the time.
Oh,
and,
I bet.
And it's a simple, elegant, but always pleasurable event to walk on a beach. To walk on the beach of San Diego in particular for me. So that's what I would do.
When you step away, you're not going to be one of these guys that we're going to see you with a haggard beard and a metal detector wandering on Hotel Del Coronado, are we? I don't know. I'm trying to think what.
No.
You know, TMZ, a TMZ headline.
No.
Former CBS mover and shaker, Major Garrett, unrecognizable.
No, there will not be a metal detector anywhere near me or my properties in Southern California ever. And if you see me on the beach, I'll either be walking or running. One of the two things. That's what I do.
Very nice. That sounds good. All right, hang on. We're going to take a short break, and I want to tell Major and tell the audience, someone wants to make a comeback, wants to be back. Who is this individual? You'll find out in moments on CCO. Among the texts coming into our line here, the Major Garrett talk and text lines, you act like third graders. Thank you. I have no idea how we were acting like third graders. That's when we were talking serious politics, by the way. Okay. That's not tied to our last topic when a texter tied to that said this. Why am I seeing Richard Nixon in a full suit walking on the beach? Yeah, that's what I want to see you. And like full suit,
come on,
wingtips,
come on,
oh,
come on, come on, come on. That's not fair. That's not fair.
That would be good. No, this is San Diego native. He lived there. He knows exactly what to do. NBC News, the evil NBC News. I know, dead to you, lose my number. Their headline: the Bidens want back in. Joe Biden has met with the new DNC chair, Ken Martin. Oh, just close circuit to Ken Martin. He handles criticism well. And others saying they are willing to help raise money, raise funds, appear wherever the Democrats think they should be. How long do you think those conversations lasted, Major?
How does Siberia sound?
There's a new voting block where we really think he'd help us. Oh, man.
Look. Sometimes in politics, things are multi-layered, and sometimes they are painfully obvious. this falls into the painfully obvious category of desperately seeking relevance. And that's not going to happen. I mean, the party will take anyone's money for sure. All donations are accepted in any denomination. That's true of any political party. But donations of the kind the Bidens are, in theory, discussing come with strings. And I would imagine, I'm rather certain of it, that the current Democratic leadership isn't really interested in the strings that would come with that involvement. Look, there's going to be a lot of postmortems. There already have been about this election. But what has become fundamentally clear is that President Biden misread what happened in 2020, misread what his chances were in 2024. And the public across every swing state simply did not buy not only what he was selling and what he handed off to the vice president. And the more telling evidence of that isn't what happened in the swing states. It's what happened in blue states, where the hemorrhaging of votes in New Jersey, Illinois, California, New York, even Texas, compared to the 2020 numbers, is for any Democrat who is sensible about this, appalling. Appalling. 1.9 million votes shed in California from 2020 to 2024, 900,000 in New York, 400,000 in New Jersey, 400,000 in Texas, 500,000 in Illinois. I mean, those are numbers that are hard to swallow if you're a Democrat thinking strategically about the future. And you cannot look at those numbers and not say Biden and Harris are implicated. And Biden's more than Harris. And so they're wanting to repurchase or reacquire at some price relevance. Good luck.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez spoke last night, the most austere, highly lauded, most rigorous, academically challenging college campus in America at Arizona State University, to a packed house. She was asked to attend. She was asked to attend Missouri. She said, "Please, I'm not going to waste my time there." Bravo, AOC. So she speaks to a sellout crowd. She obviously has jousted with Chuck Schumer. What kind of factor is she going to be nationally the next couple of years?
Well, look, so AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Bernie Sanders are traveling the western part of the United States and drawing huge crowds. They were in Las Vegas. They had to open a larger venue because there were so many people who signed up. They're the ones who right now constitute what passes for a pulse in Democratic activism against the Trump White House. I'm not saying it's a great pulse, but I'm saying it is one. And activists, grassroots activists, especially those who are generationally skewed younger, Gen Z and Gen X, want a pulse. They want someone to sort of articulate their popular rage. And AOC and Bernie Sanders are doing that. AOC also has made it clear she is thinking long and hard about challenging who? Who? Chuck Schumer. Mm-hmm. She was thinking about that even before the implosion over the government shutdown and subsequent Democratic hostility that was so pronounced that Chuck Schumer had to cancel a book tour. Not because Republicans were going to make it uncomfortable, but because Democrats were going to make his book tour uncomfortable. Yeah. And that's not exactly a portrait in courage, let alone a portrait of
a pulse. No, it's not. Yeah.
So you need a pulse, especially when your party nationally has an approval rating, depending on the two surveys, NBC and CNN, 27-29%, which means they're kind of close to each other, and it's not good. You got to figure out a way to speak to some part of your party that is active and looking for not just representation, but a little bit of articulated rage. And right now, AOC and Bernie are the ones who are doing it.
I got to jump in. Fabulous stuff as always. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks.
Major.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here on CCO.